produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, artists, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. Visit www.redaphid.com. It's Tuesday, March 18th, and it's 4:20 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Get involved with the cannabis civil rights movement and join us here at Normal. You can learn everything you need to know at norml.org. Make a donation, write a letter, attend a rally, march for your rights. It all starts with you. Remember, the government estimates that there are millions of Americans that have smoked marijuana in the past month. If Congress had to hear a million phone calls asking for an end to adult marijuana prohibition, it would be a reality already. Call your Congress at 202-225-3121. They'll ask for your zip code and put you in touch with your elected officials. It still is a government of we the people, but you have to step up and do your part. Now, Tuesday is Government at Work Day on the podcast, and coming up after the news, we're going to look at the marijuana bills in Massachusetts with Steve Epstein of MassCan Normal. After that, we go across the pond for some rock and roll with the Joint Conspiracy from England and their song, Homegrown. And to end the show, we sit down with Loretta Nall with Alabamians for Compassionate Care to take a look at the struggle to pass medical marijuana legislation in Alabama. So sit back and relax with your favorite strain. This is your normal daily audio stash. Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Lawmakers consider marijuana legalization. Boston, Massachusetts. The legislature's Joint Committee on the Judiciary meets today for a hearing on whether to decriminalize marijuana. The legislature is constitutionally required to conduct a hearing on the Committee for Sensible Marijuana Policies initiative that creates a civil penalty and fine system for individuals possessing up to 1 ounce of marijuana. The initiative, House Bill number 4468, is titled An Act Establishing a Sensible Marijuana Policy for the Commonwealth. According to Whitney A. Taylor, the CSMP campaign manager, quote, "By creating a civil penalty system for the possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana, the initiative will greatly reduce the human and financial costs of current laws. Massachusetts taxpayers spend $29.5 million per year just to arrest and book these offenders. Even more costly is the creation of a criminal record for the approximately 7,500 offenders arrested every year." End quote. Criminal records are entered into the Criminal Offender Record Information, or CORI, database, resulting in lifelong punishment, potentially making an individual ineligible for student loans, creating barriers to employment, and barring individuals from many housing opportunities, Taylor said. Now, as I read that story, did you catch the interesting choice of headline in that paper? Marijuana legalization. Even though the lawmakers are considering decriminalization. Now, the last time I checked, you don't get a civil penalty, also known as a fine, for doing something legal. See, that's just one of the subtle ways traditional media shows bias against reforming marijuana laws. A large majority of Americans favor fine-only penalties for recreational marijuana use, but less than half favor legalization. Czech Republic legalizes medical marijuana cultivation. From the BBS News. According to a report by Radio Praha of March 4th, the High Court ruled that the cultivation of cannabis for medical purposes is not a criminal offense. The court had to decide on the case of a woman who had been convicted by a lower court, but referred to the fact that she intended to use the cultivated plants for the alleviation of skin and stomach problems and not for the production of psychoactive effects. Cannabis is increasingly used for medicinal purposes in the Czech Republic. The mere discovery of the plants was not sufficient for conviction. Rather, it would have been necessary to prove the intention to make marijuana from the plants. Cultivation of hemp for the production of skin ointments would, however, constitute only a small public hazard, and it would not be reasonable to criminalize it, the judgment stated. The case now has to be retried by a lower court. Interesting decision, isn't it? Your Honor, it was not my intention to get high off these buds. I intended to use them for my nausea and skin rash. Oh, sure, they got me as high as a kite, but that wasn't my intention. Well, good for the Czech Republic. But it's strange to see more liberty there than in America. Let's talk about marijuana from the Seattle Times. As a nation, we spend at least $7.5 billion annually enforcing our marijuana laws. In 2006, the latest year for which we have numbers, a record 830,000 Americans were arrested for marijuana, 89% of them simply for possessing it. Our criminal justice system wastes time and resources with these low-level marijuana possession cases, while half our violent crimes go unsolved. And those facing the judge are disproportionately African American and Latino. Indeed, the consequences of an arrest for even a small amount of marijuana can haunt someone for the rest of his or her life. We have met and heard from people who lost or were denied jobs, had their homes raided and their property seized, lost child visitation rights, and had their medical marijuana confiscated. We realized that prohibition was creating a lot of new problems and solving few, if any, of the old ones. States now control alcohol sales and consumption, and our tax dollars are more effectively directed at regulation, public education, and treatment for those whose use becomes problematic. They're absolutely right. It's time for a conversation about marijuana, and you can learn more about that by going to marijuanaconversation.org. It's a project by the ACLU of Washington featuring a 30-minute infomercial hosted by travel author Rick Steves. You can catch the links at our blog at stash.normal.org. Activist alert! Call your California state representatives now and urge their support on the following bills. Senate Joint Resolution 20, a resolution that calls for an end to the DEA raids in California, and the resolution also denounces the federal government's recent tactic of threatening to seize the property of landlords who rent to medical marijuana facilities. Further, SJR 20 urges Congress and the President to enact federal legislation that would protect medical marijuana patients and providers from arrest and prosecution. Senate Bill 1098, a bill that provides tax amnesty to medical marijuana dispensing collectives for the period prior to October 2005, when the state was not accepting sales tax payments, making it impossible for dispensaries to pay. Assembly Bill 2743, a bill that directs state and local law enforcement agencies to not cooperate with the DEA or other federal law enforcement agencies in their attack on sick and dying medical marijuana patients and their caregivers. And finally, Assembly Bill 2279, a bill prohibiting employers from discriminating against employees and applicants for employment based solely on their use of medical marijuana while away from work. You can get more information and numbers for your California state representatives by visiting the California Normal website at canorml.org. Tuesday is our look at your government at work here at the Audio Stash. While the inevitable re-legalization of cannabis hemp will have to happen at the federal level, the steps leading to that destination take place at the state and municipal levels. we focus in on the initiatives, bills, and amendments regarding cannabis across all 50 states, and what activists like you are doing to enact a positive reform to our cruel and outdated marijuana laws. Body dies, the ego cries, the birds they sing, the creatures learn. It's an honest day's work, yeah, 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 yeah. It's an honest day's work. If you're working hard to make an impact in your city and state, please email us at stash@normal.org. And let's share your local efforts with the worldwide cannabis community. Together, we can affect our government at work. Revolution rises high into the sky. How can we still deny the truth? All right, welcome back to the Stash. Today, we're pleased to be speaking with Steve Epstein, who's a founder and the treasurer of MassCan Normal, otherwise known as the Massachusetts Cannabis Reform Coalition, which is a state affiliate of Normal. And Steve, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here, Russ.
Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that name. That's quite a mouthful there. So what's the genesis of MassCan Normal?
When we first were getting organized in 1989, at the time there were the High Times Freedom Fighters, and who came to it through High Times, and people like myself who came to it from Normal. And rather than call ourselves the Massachusetts Freedom Fighters or call ourselves Massachusetts Normal, we would call ourselves the Massachusetts Cannabis Reform Coalition, because we are founded to advance public awareness of the stupidity of prohibition and use of the marijuana plant for all sorts of things, and our motto is from John Adams, written in 1765, that we shall by and by need a world of hemp more for our own consumption.
Oh, that's a great motto to have. So people can learn more about MassCan Normal by checking out the website, which is masscan.org, MASSCANN.org. And there's plenty of information to be pulled from there, because Massachusetts right now is a hotbed of marijuana legislation. Currently lots of bills going through your House and Senate. So I figure we take this time here and just let people know what's happening and how they can get involved. First of all, you've got a couple of measures that are speaking to the decriminalization of small amounts of marijuana for personal possession. Why don't we tell our listeners what's going on there?
Well, we have two bills that are filed in the ordinary course of business, and then we have one bill involving decrim filed under our initiative petition laws. MassCan Normal endorses the initiative petition, but from our website you'll be able to locate the actual sponsors of the initiative and get more information on that. So I'll address the two bills that have been filed in the ordinary course of business. One bill is Senate Bill 1121, which would decriminalize, well, let's start at the beginning. Both of the bills would end the handcuffing of persons over the age of 18 and the holding them for bail for the possession of marijuana in the case of 1121 up to an ounce, and in the case of 1011 up to any amount of marijuana, absent proof that it's being possessed in either case with the intent to distribute it. 1121, while maintaining the power of the police to arrest for possessing marijuana and holding for bail over an ounce, disposes of such charges under an existing procedure for treating minor misdemeanor offenses as civil violations, which would have no ramifications for a criminal history record adverse to obtaining student loans, financial aid, possessing a firearm under Massachusetts law, things like that. So that it really is a excellent decrim, we think, commensurate with actually pushing the envelope around the country. The one thing that 1121 lacks and 1011 has is how those collected fines are disposed of. Although we are reluctant to increase the potential police encounters and citations for possessing marijuana, 1011 does propose splitting those fines between the municipality in which the offense occurs and the state. Right now in Massachusetts, we're number one in the consumption of marijuana. We statewide have a greater percentage of people who have admitted to the federal government in their studies that they consumed marijuana in the past month than any other state of the union. Yet, our actual marijuana arrests and complaints filed with the courts, because you don't have to be arrested, as I said. You can be summoned to court under Massachusetts law. The police don't have to handcuff. And another thing the great John Adams once wrote is that nip the shoots of arbitrary power in the bud is the only maxim by which a people can maintain their liberty.
So these both of these bills apparently are having being heard here in your Massachusetts Senate, and I'm looking at the MassCAN normal webpage.
Here's the unique thing: on Tuesday, the 18th, the Judiciary Committee of the Great and General Court of Massachusetts—that's the combination of our House of Representatives and our Senate—so it's a joint committee, so to speak. They will be hearing about marijuana decrim on a variety of proposals and means of accomplishing the goal of stopping the handcuffing and holding for bail of adults for possessing marijuana and making it a civil violation. In the case of 1121, the fine is for possession of up to an ounce, $200. For the possession of over an ounce, it would be up to $500 for a first offense, $1,000 for a second offense, but it would be a civil violation. You would get no criminal record out of it.
Wow. Okay.
Against you.
So that hearing is Tuesday, March 18th at the State House at about 1 p.m., it says here. Judiciary Committee will be taking testimony on the decrim legislation, and the media is going to be there, so we want to have as many people that can attend that hearing in support to make our point known to the public.
Yes, and that's in Room A1.
Oh, Room A1, okay.
And there's nothing that makes them feel creepier than lots and lots of silent witnesses. We'll have lapel stickers for people to wear that identify them as wishing the legislature to stop handcuffing adults for possessing marijuana. We hope to have all of them disposed of. That hearing's at 1 o'clock. That's Room A1. And the best entrance is Ashburton Place. I don't know about people's experience with entering government buildings these days, but there is a metal detector at the entrance, so things you don't want exposed to the general public should be left in the car or left at home, but the hearing should last from 1 to 5. I'll be there. Our President Keith Saunders will be there. We expect most of the rest of the Massachusetts Cannabis Reform Coalition's Board of Directors to be there, as we do a multitude of other people. If you're not a member of the Massachusetts Cannabis Reform Coalition, and we understand that you could be listening to this broadcast from anywhere in the world, do is tell your friends in Massachusetts about us and direct them to our website and tell them to get involved, because we have to prove Phil Oakes wrong.
That's right. We want everyone to get involved, and you can get the details for all of this at the MassCAN normal website at masscan.org. But it's not just decriminalization you're looking at in Massachusetts. I understand you also have bills present for medical marijuana use.
One is narrowly tailored, like Rhode Island, where you have to get approval and you have limited plants and the caregiver is limited and very specific. And another one is far more broad, closer to California's, but right now our efforts are focused on helping the roughly 5,000 to 6,000 people a year whose only reason for standing there before the court is that they possess marijuana.
Okay, so we've got a bill in the House, House Bill 2247, and a bill in the Senate, Senate Bill 944. Check out, again, the MassCan Normal website at masscan.org for more information on how to support those bills, which legislators to target. Get your phone calls and letters in to help support this.
And there's also, so that you don't go circular, there also is an alert and information posted on Normal's website for taking action.
Absolutely. Always at the Normal website, norml.org, we've got our state-by-state take action links so that you can help get involved with ending adult marijuana prohibition. We want to thank Steve Epstein from the Massachusetts Cannabis Reform Coalition, which is a state affiliate of Normal out in Massachusetts. And the website, again, is masscan.org. Steve, thanks for joining us on the Audio Stash.
Well, thank you, Russ.
Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take the time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. All right, time for a break. And what we need today is a good dose of rock and roll. The Joint Conspiracy are some rock and rollers from across the big pond, out in Essex, England. Kick-ass drums and some hot guitar riffs. This is good old English rock. With Ryan on vocals, Matt on drums, Greg on guitar, and Steve on bass, today's hit, Homegrown, will have you playing your air guitar as if you were in the band yourself. Ain't no conspiracy here. These guys are just good old rock and roll. For more information on the artist, see music.podshow.com. You can download the MP3 at our website, stash.normal.org. This is The Joint Conspiracy and Homegrown.
Take care. Said I'm waiting for you. James Roquefort here from PeopleRadio.com, and you're listening to Normal, the podcast for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Oh, I didn't know they needed reforming. It's illegal, you say? I'll be right back. Sorry, I had to flush my goldfish down the toilet. What was this about marijuana? Oh, well, now on with the show.
All right, when we go to our government work, we like to look at the states that are moving forward with medical marijuana legislation, and one place that you might not have thought to look is down south in Alabama. We've got Loretta Nall, who is the executive director of Alabamians for Compassionate Care. You may also remember she was a gubernatorial candidate in the state of Alabama, and we want to welcome you to the stash. Welcome, Loretta.
Thank you, Russ. It's always great to be on. I thank you for having me, and hello, normal listeners across the country.
Oh, great. Nice to have you. Now, I guess you've got a medical marijuana bill now that's been submitted, and it's gotten a bill number, so let's inform everyone so that they can call their legislators in Alabama and put some pressure on them to support this bill.
All right. It's House Bill 679. If you want to go to ALISON, which is the Alabama Legislative Information System online, and look it up. It's a very comprehensive bill. The one thing that we left out of the bill was how patients would acquire it. We've got amounts in there that they can have, but we've had it in for the past 4 years. This isn't a new thing in Alabama. So I need everybody in Alabama to, one thing, go to my website and check out the link there. Normal provided us with their CapWiz program so that you can send a letter to your representative. And I've also got links to the Alabama Judiciary Committee in the House, which is where our bill will be debated when it comes up. And so I need everybody to, especially to contact those members of the House Judiciary Committee.
Okay, let's give your website address out.
Okay, the one that, let's see, we'll go, it's NALL for Governor, N-A-L-L for Governor.
F-O-R?
Yes, F-O-R.
Okay. NALL for Governor.
.blogspot.com.
We'll have a link to that up on our stash blog at stash.normal.org, so you'll be able to just follow it from the story from today's interview.
We've got a really big protest plan. Well, I don't even call it a protest, but maybe just more of an educational demonstration at the State House. We don't have a date set for that yet, but for everybody in Alabama, especially that's listening, it's going to be a blowout. We're going to have all of our patients there. We'll have Laura Campbell, who is a She was the first patient to ever give testimony before the House Judiciary Committee for us back in 2005. She suffers from a huge long list of bone and joint ailments. She has IBS, and she's also allergic to 95% of analgesic pain medications. Mm-hmm. Marijuana is about the only thing that she can use. Christy O'Brien will be there with us. She's a chronic pain patient resulting from a major car accident about 20 years ago in which she was the only survivor. And so Christy's been using for 17 years. She was able to use only marijuana to deal with her pain. And she just has an incredible story. Don Praca will be there. He is our cancer patient who survived, is surviving cancer at the moment, and also was arrested, survived that, and has had to fight for his freedom on top of having to fight for his life. And we'll have the family of Michael Phillips. Michael Paul Phillips was a wonderful guy, 38 years old. He had an inoperable brain tumor since birth, which caused multiple grand mal seizures a day. He went to the neurology clinic at UAB in Birmingham all of his life, took every seizure medication known to humankind, pretty much, and a lot of them that never made the market. And the only thing that helped him was smoking pot. And his mother is a sweet little Southern Baptist woman, a fireball, who gave a wonderful testimony for us last year. Michael Phillips passed away at the New Orleans DPA conference on the last night there. Michael passed. He was traveling with me and my group, and we were incredibly devastated by, you know, the sudden loss. And so this year we've renamed the Compassionate Care Act, will be the Michael Phillips Compassionate Care Act in his honor. And so they will all be there. And the big thing is we're going to have puppets. We're going to have big, giant puppets. One's going to be a physician puppet with duct tape over his mouth to represent the fear that doctors feel when this issue is brought up to them. And we've got some other things in the works, but we're going to imitate what the puppetistas do at the, you know, the School of the Americas
protest, really put on some great theatrics, and try to get a lot more attention around this issue.
Well, that, you know, that's a good media tactic. You know, there's so many stories that the media have to sift through. They look for the ones that give them some good soundbite, or even better, a good video feed, a good 3 seconds that they can put into a news story. That's kind of how the media works.
That's exactly right.
Now, you know, another thing that you brought up, and I thought this is a very good point that needs to be made in the medical marijuana debates. You know, everyone can easily see that people with cancer, HIV, and these severe illnesses should definitely be given marijuana to live. But you mentioned the person who's allergic to analgesics. And this is something that hits home to me, is the patient that I'm a caregiver for here in Oregon has that very problem, where she cannot take an Aleve or an Advil or a Tylenol or even an aspirin, not even a baby aspirin, without severe allergic reactions.
Yeah, and they are, you know, that's not something that people generally think about. I mean, I don't know how common it is to be allergic to analgesic drugs, but, you know, Laura Campbell brought up one time, she said, you know, what if I ever have to have major surgery? You know, I don't have any other options for, you know, controlling my pain, because I can't take any opiate-based drugs, I can't take Tylenol, I can't take, you know, any of these things. So what am I supposed to do? I just have to hurt. You know, pain after major surgery would kill you if you didn't have something. I'm not even sure that marijuana would be sufficient for that, but I mean, if it's all you had.
Now, before we go, we should definitely talk, you know, just some of the nuts and bolts here about the bill. And you mentioned it had certain limits involved. So what would those limits be if this bill were to pass?
The bill is written right now. The limit is a patient can have 2.5 ounces of usable marijuana on them at any one time, and they can have 12 plants. And they can have, you know, a caregiver and things of that nature. It just doesn't say, you know, that there will be compassion clubs or anything of that nature. Because in Alabama, they get kind of hung up on, you know, West Coast compassion club scenario. And they're unable to deal with it for some reason in the legislature. It just absolutely mortifies them. The legislature is going to be on spring break next week. And so we don't expect anything on it at the very earliest until the last week of March. So it'll be coming up sometime, you know, March or April. There's a lot of work, you know, to do. So if you, like I said, if you're listening in Alabama, please get on the horn, call your legislator, email them. More importantly, pay them a visit in Montgomery or when they're at home in their district over the weekends. If you show up in person, it really makes a big impression.
Well, that's right. We want to have everyone get out and support for what will be known as the Michael Phillips Compassionate Care Act. Is that the...
That's correct.
That's the official name. And this is Loretta Null, who's the Executive Director of Alabamians for Compassionate Care. Make sure you check out the website at nullforgovernor.blogspot.com. We'll also have a link to that up on the Stash blog at stash.normal.org. And Loretta, it's been a pleasure to finally get to speak with you.
Yeah, I feel the same way, Russ. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person one of these days.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you with today's cannabis quote from Carl Olson from Ohio Normal. Quote, "I never use the word drug without defining it. I define it exactly the way the DEA defines it, a chemical compound capable of reproduction in standardized dosages. I explain that marijuana is a plant many drugs in it, just like any other plant." End quote. Indeed, I've always found it strange that we call a plant a drug. Anyway, I'm Radical Russ, and we'll be back tomorrow with more marijuana news and information that you can use here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash. Thanks for downloading. Take care of each other.